Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how very grateful, humbled I am that you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, August the 13th, 2017. Wow. It just goes so fast, doesn't it? I am so grateful to be with you. We're going to talk about the effect of meditation, as I always have people writing me, kind of goading me, saying, you know, why should I do this? What are the benefits? Yada-da, yada-da. And I thought it might be a little interesting for many of you to hear this, because the majority of the people I speak to here on this program basically don't meditate. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people, and you don't meditate. So I get all of this all the time, and I thought it would be fun to talk about it a little bit. I want to remind you, as you know, that these radio programs and everything we offer on Aspire is there because of the loving sponsors that make it possible for my work to be on the air and serving the world. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us serve humankind the way we do, offering people some insight. And maybe, who knows who you will help. You only have two choices in life. You either go with the collective unconscious and the masses, or you go your own way and you transcend all of that for the sake of love, for the sake of humankind, for the sake of your own unfoldment, your own metamorphosis. So this program is dedicated to that for those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I hope that you will help us sustain our program by becoming a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, you will see in the middle of the page there, it says support. If you hit that, a submenu will come down, and it's entitled Why Support Aspire, which is a very good idea. I mean, it's a good question. People want to know. I will tell you where your funds go. They are tax deductible. We will send you a receipt for your income taxes, and you can sign up and help us serve humankind. We are not a big organization. The organization is me. So if you think you're paying for all these, you know, people that keep it running, it's not true. It's just me. And I'm here to serve you. Go take a look at our website at aspire.org. The effect of meditation. You know, before you can get anyone to do anything, you have to give them promises. Promises are very important to the collective unconscious, to most people. They want to know what they're going to get for their effort. It's like the commentary I did. How much money and time should you be spending on a spiritual practice? And of course, most people spend no time and want to spend no money on something that really doesn't matter. It isn't going to change anything in their lives. That's the way they think. And they just go on their happy, merry way, saying and doing what they're doing, accruing karma in their life, and living their life in accordance with all of that. Well, you know, it goes a little deeper, a little further. There's consequences for our life that we don't want to talk about, that we can't see. In fact, one of them would be the state of my understanding. When my understanding is small, then everything I think, say, and do gets personal. And I start thinking that I'm being attacked or that other people are going to attack me. We get paranoid. We have a lot of neurosis and psychosis in our culture. Narcissism is huge. Ton of narcissism. So we go on and on and on with these illusions and delusions, thinking that, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. Everything I do matters. So let's get into the questions. First one comes from Kathy in Los Angeles. How much meditation must one do, Greg, to make a difference in their lives? Kathy. Well, Kathy, I don't know what difference you mean. You didn't state what a difference would be for you. So I don't really know what the answer to your question is. I can tell you some of the things that have happened to me and my students, but I don't know what will happen to you because everyone's different. Everybody has karma. Everybody has some old thing they have to work on and do in the course of their lifetime. So I'll tell you, it isn't about benefits. The biggest, most beautiful benefit of meditation for me has been the ability to see the periphery of my life and not have to struggle to understand what that periphery is or what it meant. I can see it clearly. The minute, Kathy, I bring anything to my human mind, I ruin it. If I bring beauty into my human mind, if I bring kindness into my human mind, if I bring affection into my human mind, things like that, you know, your dog's affection, your mates, your children, anything you bring to your mind, you will ruin. And the reason for that is we have a very small mind. Our minds are categorized into pleasure and pain. That's it. You have no other alternative. It's either going to be you're in pleasure or you're being pained. And if that is the case, if that is the way we're going to live our life, then that is the mess we're in. And anything that you bring, like compassion or love, it will seem as though if you are doing a good thing, then ching, ching, you'll get something good back. Everybody's looking for the ching, ching. And we just basically don't get it. We don't understand. We don't move in the direction of loving kindness or compassion in any way, shape, or form because we're so busy trying to get what we want. When people are in recovery, they have to use this idea of a higher power because they don't believe they can do it on their own. They don't believe that there is something within them that can help them recover, change, maybe even transform. So they believe in some higher power, and that gets them through, and that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. If that's what you need, that's what you need. But the fact of the matter is that the love that you and I need, that we really seek, is within us. It isn't in something greater than us. It just lives as us. The problem is that we forget who we are. We forget the nature of our being, I should really say. And that's what meditation brings you. The nature of your being, the ability to understand things that are true about us that our minds cannot categorize into good and bad, right and wrong. And of course, to the ability to see beyond the periphery, to see the periphery and then to go beyond it and to be able to recognize the whole bigger picture. What comes out of that, Kathy, is you begin to see without a shadow of a doubt the participation you and I have in our life and how that has manifested through karma into our daily living. Now, we are not here to just have a better life. We are here to have a life that is based in loving kindness, in the support of insight and compassion. We're here to accelerate the process of love within us. But we won't do that if we are busy inside of ourselves creating mischief. One of the things that I feel meditation shows me is my mischief. And once I understand that mischief and how it started, the way it started, then something of the other shore begins to happen. And I start seeing things in the light of a great love that lives within me. And that's what it's really all about. If you can understand that, if you can get your head wrapped around that, then you understand why it is very important To meditate. Meditation brings about awareness. Meditation is awareness. And once that starts to manifest in me and I understand the nature of all that, many beautiful things can happen. So, Kathy, I don't know if you're wanting to get rid of your gray hairs or you want firmer breasts or you want a child or you want more money or you want your husband to act right or whatever. I don't know. But none of those things are a part of the picture. And yet all things are possible. Kathy, forgive me for that last one. Please forgive me. Namaste. I always like to sneak one of those in there just for the sake of the sake. Next one comes from Susan. She does not tell me where she lives. What effect does meditation have on my passions and my desires? I need passion and desire to do my work. Will meditation help, Susan? People really believe and depend upon this idea of passion, don't they? It's a big deal to most human beings to become passionate. And yet, meditation is about becoming dispassionate. Most of our mischief in this world is based on our passions. The passions we have for what we want, what we believe in, what we think is important. We have a lot of passions. And we find passion to be, in our minds, very sexy and necessary and juicy, but it's not. It is in your passions that your house, your inner house, is eaten up and destroyed. And I've seen many people who have lived their life passionately, who have destroyed their life regularly, every day. They do something mischievous, something painful, something whatever, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So my dear one, my dear Susan, whoever you are, I know my answer here isn't what you want to hear, but it is the truth. In passion, you become devoured by emotionality. And it is in that emotionality that we find that we don't have the inwardness, the ability in our inwardness to change the way we live and to become peaceful. So, can I become peaceful with my passion? No. My passion is immature. It is emotionality out of control. And it doesn't do any good for me to be passionate. The only good that is done is when I'm compassionate. And compassionate means that I am able to see what your needs are, what is going on from the periphery of my inward vision, and then serve you. That's where passion is, shall we say, used with the idea of guidelines in restraint, excess within control. And most of us just don't think of that very often, nor do we want to do it, because to become passionate is to become high. We get high on our emotions. We start getting excited. We start thinking that our legend is true, or our commercials for ourselves are true. We start thinking that we can do no wrong. Our poop don't stink, as I always say. And that's the way we choose to live our life. What can I do? What can I say to you? This is not a popular thing. One of the things that you will find as you grow older, and I don't know how old you are, but you sound young, is that for every passionate thing you and I have ever done, both of us, there are consequences to it. And typically the consequences have to do with my ability to concentrate. When I'm really passionate, and I've lived a life where I've just let everything go and I've gotten carried away and I've gotten crazy, I won't be able to focus. I won't be able to focus upon what is really going on, what life is all about. I won't be able to focus in meditation and stay concentrated. So to get passionate, whether it be about anger or injustice or fear or some project you're involved in or some artwork or your work, as you put it here, you're going to find that eventually you wear out and you get tired of it all when you get in your 50s, and then it all looks different. When you're tired and beat up from the passions that you and I have lived in, it can be real fatiguing. And after a while, you burn out. And you think, well, tortoise and the hare thing. Who was smarter, the hare or the tortoise? The tortoise just stayed steady and kept moving forward, whereas the rabbit was all over the place and crazy. You have to decide what you want to do with your life. But living in excess under control is wisdom, real wisdom. Then you have enough gas. You have enough energy to finish the race. And what is that? Well, it could be your life. Could be a project. It could be just about everything and anything. You'll have enough to finish and to spare. And you're going to need all of that to live your life in. It takes practice. Don't burn yourself out. The effects that meditation has on a person is different for everybody. So, really, Susan, it has nothing to do with what it'll do for you. It's kind of what Jack Kennedy said. What will you do for it? Ask not what your meditation will do for you. Ask what you will do for your meditation. What will you be willing to give up, sacrifice, so you don't succumb to your passions and you use that energy of passion to sustain you through the difficult times when your mind wants to wander and your mind wants to believe this over that and right over wrong. What are you going to be able to sacrifice? That is the real question. Plus, what are you going to be able to do for humankind? You can't just do you for the rest of your life. How much of your love and kindness should be given to humankind to help it? Now, I've devoted my whole life to this, for all of my life, trying to help people understand, to help me understand. It's all about the bigger picture. As you sow, so shall you reap. What you give, you will receive. But it's also what you give to that matters. It's a point of condition. It's a focus point. And people don't get that. Serving humankind is a very important thing. I can't tell you how important it is. It is that important. It really is. So it takes a great deal of inner effort to understand the nature of yourself and the nature of what it means to live in a loving kindness that serves humankind. And your patience will be one of the things, Susan, that is the most important thing you give to humankind. Patience. Not going off the deep end. Not ragging on yourself. Not doing the things that pain you. Not doing the things that, well, would be natural, a reaction to maybe somebody's ignorance or their thoughtlessness. That would be a better word. And instead of getting all crazy and huffy about it, you realize they know not what they do. Go look at my series, Susan, on the website at aspire.org. It's absolutely free. They know not what they do. Just go look at it. Go look at a few of their programs. They're right there. And it will help you understand the nature of what it means to be selfless, because meditation is about coming to that place where we become selfless, so deeply selfless that we are not caught in the fray of our own stupidity, which is huge with Gregory Penn, just huge. I hope that helped you. Thank you, Susan, for your question, and please forgive me, hey? Namaste. The last question. This person wants me to withhold their name entirely, okay? What effect will I get if I am meditating correctly? How will I know it's a true meditation? Anonymous. Well, your senses won't know. Your mind cannot know. You won't know. Because if you really go to that place that we're talking about here, you will come to that, what I call, secret place of the Most High inside you, where everything becomes very clear. This clarity has nothing to do with thoughts. What you can think, what you can believe in, has nothing to do with any of that. This clarity is the way of the heart, the way of the being. And it sustains you through insight. It sustains you through kindness. One of the signs you're going to feel through your humanness, just a little inkling, is that you're going to see that kindness is immensely important. Not sympathy, not human kindness, because that has strings to it, but just basic kindness. It is one of the most important things that we can offer to each other. This kindness will exceed anything you've ever known, because it will ask you to sacrifice things you would not want to sacrifice, like your pride, your arrogance, your judgments, your fears, your intrepidations. It will ask you to sacrifice the basic soul of your humanity, which is nothing but hatred. The ability that people have to go from 0 to 10 in hate is just a fraction of a moment. That whole process, you will see, is gone. You will not be intrigued by it anymore. You will not be intrigued by violence and hatred. You will not want to be side-pathed through entertainment or through alcohol or drugs. You just won't care about that anymore. So you're going to be looking at things that are totally different than anything you've ever known before. So that's where you are. That's what it is, and that's what it's all about. You can understand things you didn't understand before. You will see your immaturity. You will be tempted to judge yourself, to hate yourself, to not care about yourself. You will be tempted to ridicule yourself. There will be 100 different temptations to do very ugly things that will not help you in any way, shape, or form in the process of your understanding. But be that as it may, you will also have that ability to step over to the other shore. So, discipline. And this is what I was trying to say to Susan. If you're passionate all your life, you won't have these things, the ability to go over to the other shore. You will have spent yourself emotionally, and that's the end of that. And there won't be anything more for you to do. There won't be anything more to have insight in. So that'll be that, and your life will be that, and it's over. So I say, do the things that make love possible. Be willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of a greater experience in this world, in this life, called love. And don't worry about where the pieces may fall in your life. It's always going to fall, all of them, in their proper places to help you awaken and awaken and awaken. That will be the blessing of your life. Trust me on that. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can be of service to you, You know what to do. Come to the website at inspired.org, hey? And there you will see a Satsang with Suraj under Media. Just click on it, and you can listen to past radio programs, future radio programs. You can email me from there. You can just email me at greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for listening. And again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.